Tonight, Survivor Know-It-Alls is sponsored by Hover.com. Hover is domain management made as simple as a Redemption Island challenge when somebody's telling you how to do it.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Namaste, bitches. That's right. It's Survivor Know-It-Alls live on Thanksgiving Eve on the West Coast after Survivor. And I have to say, I think this was the best episode of the season. And I'm very thankful for this guy being here with us every week. Here he is, the one and only Stephen Fishback. Stephen, how are you?
Woo! Hello. Hello, Rod. This was a very hard episode for me. Something I'm not thankful for was Vetus getting eliminated from the game. My favorite, perhaps, of anyone except Tyson and Rachel this season. Very hard blow to take. Rachel, we lost a few weeks ago. Now Vetus having that's it's a hard moment over here in the Fishback household.
Your favorite Bushkowskis brother?
I don't want to rank Bushkowskis guy, but I really was rooting for Vetus. I loved him as a character. I enjoyed him as a player. Kind of heartbroken.
Yes. Well, we are very thankful. Level one Survivor tonight. Very exciting stuff. We've got a lot to break down here tonight, and we will go over all of the strategy. So very, very, very exciting. We of course are live with, so we want to hear from you guys, interactive show, yada, yada, yada. You know the drill. Hashtag RHAP. And of course you can, post your comments on the YouTube video as well. Click the video if you're watching it now, or, go to robiswebsite.com/YouTube. And, we're going to take a lot of questions here, and, big week. We're going to do our regular podcast on Black Friday. Then, this week we're going to speak with Andrea Belke. Yes, a fellow New York Survivor, Stephen. So we're going to hear from her, as well this week. And then, no exit interview with Vetus, tomorrow. We're going to have that actually because it's Thanksgiving and nobody at CBS is working tomorrow. So we're going to have an exit interview with Vetus on Monday. Okay.
Oh, okay.
There's the rundown. They did the same thing last year.
Did someone eliminated last year on a Thursday? I thought this was the first Thursday Thanksgiving elimination.
No, today is Wednesday, Stephen.
Or the first ever like Thanksgiving week elimination.
No, Peepro last year.
Oh, that was sad. That was a sad one too.
It was Pete Bro in this spot last
year. Black Wednesday.
Black Wednesday is right. All right, so let's start at the top here. Crazy episode. I love the final seven, and this did not disappoint. So I want to start, Stephen, tonight. Did Tyson make the right move? Okay, so just we all know what happened. Okay, we had the we saw Caleb and Hayden this week for the first time in a while. We saw what they were thinking. They decide, hey, the four new people, let's vote out Tyson. Then Sierra goes and tells Tyson. Then Hayden and Caleb double back and say, hey, Sierra is playing everybody against each other. Tyson looks like he really has a decision to make. He decides, I'm going to go with the plan A and vote out Caleb over the plan to vote out Sierra. Did you like this move for Tyson?
Well, first off, let me say, I really think it was just sort of a gut decision. You know, I think what Jervis was saying, you know, this just comes down to your gut and you hope your gut is right. You know, I think that is a very accurate assessment of a lot of these sort of marginal survivor decisions where you're like, I can go this way or that way. Do I trust these people more? Or do I trust those people more? And, you know, playing the game, you just don't really have an idea who you can honestly actually trust. Now, from Tyson's perspective, Tyson has an idol. And so that gives him some more room to play. He knows that maybe people have been plotting against him. He knows that, you know, maybe his name is being tossed around. Having that idol gives him a little bit of leverage. So is he doing the right thing in voting out Caleb instead of Sierra? the thing that that does is that it splits up a voting block, which is Caleb and Hayden. You know, I think to a certain extent, it really does put Sierra to the test because Tyson's not going home. He knows he's not going home. It's good. He locks in Sierra with him, basically.
You know, it seems to me almost like sometimes like Jervis is like, does Jervis go, like, does he live somewhere else during the day? It seems like so many times this season, it's basically like Jervis like randomly shows up and Tyson like fills him in on everything that's happened since he's been either asleep or gone. And Jervis is like, whoa. It's like he's not.
Then Tyson asks him for like the final call. He's like, so I've gathered everybody's. It's like Jervis is like the CEO, you know. Like Tyson is like,
oh, he was in meetings
all
day.
A opinion and B opinion. I need a decision.
Tyson only runs the really important stuff up to Jervis. Jervis is basically, you know, dealing with paperwork all day long. So
here's the danger: if they had voted out Sierra tonight, then you've got Tyson, Jervis, and Monica against Caleb, Hayden, and Katie. And that's dangerous right there. Yeah. What are you doing at final six with those numbers?
Yeah, I agree. I do think that Tyson ultimately made the right move. But my follow up question is, then why did Tyson play the hidden immunity idol if he was going to vote for Caleb? I felt like the only way it made sense for Tyson to play the idol was if he was voting for Sierra.
Wait, explain that to me.
Because I felt like once Tyson took the, which was hilarious, by the way, Tyson just dumping his bag out at Tribal Council. Really, one of the funniest things that ever happened at Tribal Council. Like, I know it's in here somewhere, like Nicole, like looking for a lipstick. So he does that whole thing and plays the idol. I'm like, oh my God. That they are voting out Sierra. It's shades of Christy Smith. You vote out the swing vote. I was loving it. And so then, I was very surprised then when it ultimately ended up being Caleb. Now, I can't second guess this too much because I've always said, you know, if you think there's a chance you could go home, play the idol. Because for the rest of your life, you're going to regret. If you didn't play the idol and you get voted out with an idol, the whole rest of your life you'll walk around like, oh my God, I had the idol. Why didn't I play the idol? I thought I might go home, but I didn't play the idol. There's less regret to say, boy, I played that idol when I shouldn't have. So I get why, but it seemed like a weirder spot to play the idol than if you were voting for Sierra because
I don't get. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, yeah, and I'll let me explain because I felt like when Hayden and Caleb came to Tyson, he said, "Boy, are these guys really just trying to get out Sierra, or are they trying to get me to change up what I'm doing so that they can vote for me?" And so I felt like that they were if they were trying to get Tyson and Jervis and everybody to change up their votes and then put their votes on Sierra, they would have had enough votes to get out Tyson.
I just think that it's, you know, your name is being tossed around a little bit. You know, you're hearing one thing from Sierra, you're hearing another thing from Hayden and Caleb. Regardless of which way you decide to go, you still have to think they all could be lying to me. They could all be in it together. And I'm playing an idol regardless because you're never that certain about anything. And especially when you know someone is plotting to get you out, I think you have to, in that situation, take evasive maneuvers. You know, sometimes when people play the idol, too early, it's off a hunch or off a feeling of paranoia. In Tyson's case, he has actually heard that there is a significant number of people who are planning to vote for him that night. So I think, you know, totally legitimate. And regardless of whether or not he, like, you know, trusts one person or makes a certain move, you've got to play defensively. You know, you're acting with both hands in that scenario.
Does it hurt Tyson's position at all to surprise everybody and say, hey, I had the idol the whole time?
This was a concern of mine in Token Chains when I had the idol. I thought, you know, I don't want anyone to know I have the idol. People are going to distrust me because they'll see and I've been lying to them about the idol this whole time. I think with Tyson, you know, he's such a character that he's able to get away with stuff like this. And also, people know Tyson is running things. People are aware that Tyson is running the show. So I think that people don't begrudge him some strategic finessing.
All right, let's skip around. There's so many angles of this episode to cover. Let's talk about Sierra, okay? And her move to go and tell Tyson about the plan. Now, we felt like we agree. We think Tyson made the right decision. But what about Sierra? Now, they come to her, and we said last week, if these four new players don't get one of the three veterans out of the game, then somebody needs to have their head examined. Now,
three
of the new players came to the same conclusion that Rob Cesternino, Survivor Hall of Famer, came to.
Survivor know-it-all. Someday I'll be a Survivor Hall of Fame. There's only so many survivors out there.
We came to the same conclusion, but one person, Sierra, came to a different conclusion, and that conclusion was to go back and tell Tyson the plan. Did you think that this was a smart move for Sierra?
I mean, I don't think there's so much wrong with it, and I just want to start at her rationale, which is that these people have played the game before versus these people who have never played the game. That was her reason why she stuck with Tyson and Jervis over Hayden and Caleb. Now, never mind that Hayden has actually won a reality show. Tyson, you know, I love him, obviously, very good friend. Self-destructed twice. Jervis lost once. You know, you're talking about these people have lost catastrophically multiple times before versus this guy who has successfully won a show. That rationale has to be the worst reason to choose one ally over another.
She said that, oh, these new players, they're flip-flopping left and right. These are not the kind of people that I want to play with. I mean, other than when Caleb switched his vote to save Sierra and Katie from Brad Culpepper. I mean, have these guys really been like going around, like shifting alliances? Haven't they been sticking with the plan since that one isolated incident against Brad Culpepper?
Now here's my question. I mean, in my mind, like, Sierra is actually the one who's flip-flopping here. You know, her move here really reminds me more of, you know, kind of a John Fincher in Samoa, who is going from the bottom of one alliance that actually cares about her to another alliance where she's suddenly incredibly disposable. And Tyson even says, you know, if she's willing to do this to her old buds, I don't trust her. It reminds me of Candace in Heroes versus Villains. Now, Sierra is accusing other people of being a flip-flopper. Do you think Sierra is really the flip-flopper here?
Yes, yes. Here's why this was so bad, what she did. That Hayden and Caleb come to her and say, hey, the three of us, we're going to the final three. Hayden, Caleb, Sierra. Okay, there is a straight path to the final three. Plus, that here's Katie is the fourth, and Katie is probably more loyal to Sierra than any of the other anybody else in that foursome. Instead, I think she goes from a great final three alliance to the bottom of a four-person alliance with Tyson, Jervis, and Monica. Now, the flaw here is that I don't think she realizes that Monica is ahead of her in the pecking order.
Right.
But do you agree with me that Monica is ahead of Sierra in the pecking order?
I agree, but I also agree that Tyson has done a great job of convincing everybody that Monica is at the bottom of the pecking order. I think everyone sort of has that, like, Monica is the always the next to go kind of thing. Mm-hmm. When, you know, so she is that sort of, like, Philip Shepherd character where she's always the next to go.
Let's not even worry about Monica. If you're Sierra, would you rather be in the final three with Hayden and Caleb, or would you rather be in the final three with Tyson and Jervis?
Now, so here's my question, and here's where I think it gets complicated, because from my perspective, the viewer at home, you think Hayden and Caleb haven't really done that much. You know, maybe the two of them split votes. Tyson obviously masterminding the season. Everyone seems to recognize that, right? Hayden says that. Vita says that. Aura says that. Everyone is saying, we all can see Tyson is in control here. But when Tyson is talking to Sierra, he says, you know, you have a better chance against me than you do against them. So is it possible that, you know, on the ground, on the beach, this is actually a sensible decision from Sierra's perspective, that Caleb, for example, is considered such a favorite to win all the jury votes that no one wants to go against Caleb?
I mean, in Sierra's mind, is it that, you know, Tina said, hey, you just lost five votes, Tyson.
Right.
And she's like, ho-ho, yeah, that's right. Everybody hates Tyson. Everybody loves me. So I'm going to go up against Tyson here in the end. But I just feel like would you say, is this an unfair comparison? Do you feel like, is Sierra almost like the Natalie Tenorelli to Tyson's Boston Rob?
I mean, I think she's worse than that. I mean, no, that's not fair because Natalie,
worse than Natalie Tenorelli, Stephen?
I take that back because Sierra has been scheming. But my point was that Sierra has, I think, by flipping from her previous alliance, I think she is not, you know, what Natalie's virtue was she was so completely loyal to Boston Rob that he was, of course, going to drag her to the end. Sierra has now alienated her three earliest allies in the game. She's basically guaranteed that they'll never vote for her, and her new allies don't need her anymore. You know, she's proven herself untrustworthy to her new allies. What always happens to people as soon as they make this move in the game, they are the next to go. And I would bet that Sierra is the next to go next week. I think her new alliance doesn't need her, and her old alliance wants her gone.
Right. And the thing is that she's, even if she's saying to herself, boy, everybody is mad at Tyson, I need to be up against Tyson. Well, the reason why she thought she had a good chance against Tyson was because nobody was pissed off at her. But now, as you said, Hayden, Caleb, and Katie are all going to be really pissed off at her.
And you know, had she gone to the end with Hayden and Caleb, you know, she would have easily had both moms voting for her, you know, I mean, you know, she certainly could have gotten second place, if not even had a chance at first. Now, here's my question for you, Rob. Let's talk about flip-flopping, because I'm actually having this problem in my blog, right? From my perspective, Hayden is trying to make a really smart move.
Yes.
He's trying to vote out Tyson. He's trying to take control of the game and give himself an argument in front of a jury of why he deserves to win $1 million. Isn't he also, though, flip-flopping on his alliance? What is the distinction between what Hayden is doing and what Sierra is doing?
I guess there's not a ton. I guess he would be flipping on Tyson and Jervis to ultimately get himself a better deal in the game. But I mean the Tyson is in power. You know, that she's flip-flopping from people who aren't in power. I don't know, Stephen. You put me on the spot with that one. That's a tough question.
I don't
question.
Know. It's something that I'm really working through because, like, it seems clear. And here's my working sort of theory is that, you know, Hayden is trying to create an alliance to overthrow an existing power structure.
A coup d'etat.
Sierra is just moving from the bottom of one alliance to the bottom of another alliance.
Yes.
So it's sort of like, are you putting yourself in charge by creating something new, or are you just sort of like floating along from bottom to bottom?
I don't know, but I was very impressed with Hayden's game tonight. I really, you know, I felt like Hayden had not done much all season long, but I felt like Hayden came off like a seasoned Survivor player. And I know it didn't work, but I can't disagree at all with the strategy of what Hayden and Caleb came up with in this episode.
I mean, it's crazy because, you know, you'd think that Sierra, who's been with them since day one, would go along with it. And if she had, you know, they would have been in control.
I know. I was very conflicted watching this episode because I was happy that things went Tyson's way because, like yourself, I love Tyson. But as a person who loves the strategy of the game, I watched this episode with my jaw on the floor.
Yeah, Hayden really had a great strategy. He had a very clear, you know, and he had his onion, right? He had Katie, who was the fourth and who was going to be happy to be four. You know, Sierra, who was three, and Caleb, who was his number two. And it really looked like, you know, I too was very happy that Tyson was not unseated. But it would have been a great move just from a fan of the show's perspective to see a real successful coup d'etat, especially after Tyson took out Aris. You know, that's the way Survivor is supposed to go, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, Tyson, I feel like Tyson got lucky here with this Sierra thing. He definitely could have been blindsided with a hidden immunity idol tonight had Sierra not been a rat and gone and told him what was really going on the other side.
But here's where I disagree with you. I don't think that it's luck because Tyson has obviously established such a bond with Sierra. He's made this narrative in Sierra's mind that she is better off with him. He has created this alliance that obviously paid off.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. I will say he's a little lucky, but yes, you're right. There is skill on Tyson's part. I even really appreciated the move that Hayden and Caleb at first, when they're talking about what should we do next, and everybody watching the show is screaming, go talk to Monica. Talk to Monica. She's the fourth vote you need. And now we never saw that on the show. Do you think that they did talk to Monica, or do you think that they talked to Monica and she was like, wait, what? I just got to win another challenge.
Well,
is it
I think
me?
The reason
is
you
it
don't
me?
Talk to Monica is exactly yeah. what the problem was with Sierra, right? Is that you don't talk to Monica because you think she's tight with Tyson. If we say anything to Tyson, to Monica, it's going to alert Tyson. Now, you know, I think this is a big reason why on Survivor so often, you know, people don't upset the apple cart, is because if you say one wrong thing to the wrong person, then your game is screwed. And, you know, I was really sad to see that happen with Sierra, you know, who they had every reason to trust.
Yeah. So then as everybody's screaming, hey, why don't we go and vote for Monica? Hayden and Caleb come up with, well, why don't we just go ask Tyson? I'm like, are you crazy? You don't go ask Tyson if he's going to blindside you. That's crazy.
I thought that was crazy, too. And it was actually the right decision.
And they were like, yeah, let's go. Maybe let's just throw Sierra under the bus and see what happens. And I was like, okay, Tyson is buying this. I like this. And you know I love the let's just vote out the swing vote move. That's one of my favorite moves. I love that. I was getting very excited. I thought we were going to see that tonight. But
here's the thing. I actually think that Caleb and Hayden were too honest. They went to Tyson and they were like, you know, we kind of had this wonky feeling from you, so we were going to vote you out. They didn't say what they thought they should have said, which was that, oh, yeah, Sierra told us you were gunning for us. You know, if they had really made it seem like Sierra like sold that story harder, that Sierra was trying to drive a wedge between the two bro factions.
Yeah,
I think that might have actually been a stronger case.
Yeah, I know. It's tough, though, because then you kind of wanted to have it where Tyson didn't go ask Sierra point blank what happened. And then she's like, no, I swear to God, I'm telling you, these guys, they were trying to get you out. And then that sort of like seals the case more. I thought they did a good job. I thought Tyson was really considering it. And it seems like he did make the smarter move for his game. I think you break up those two guys. But why were you surprised that everybody was on board for let's get rid of Caleb and not Hayden, when Hayden seems like the much bigger threat to win immunity?
Well, but Caleb, I mean, Hayden actually has not yet won an immunity. And like, I think Caleb's got that like good old country boy vibe, right? Maybe Tyson is still smarting from a token chains.
Yeah. Let's see. How about the decision to eat versus compete in the challenge tonight? So
I couldn't believe that Tyson did that. Like, I it was hilarious and he pulled it off with such gusto, but like, he knew people were plotting against him. What was he thinking?
I think that Tyson and I guess Jervis just have no control over whether they eat or not. They just have to eat at all times. I was really surprised that Sierra decided to eat in the challenge. Even Nicole watching the episode said, wow, she has a lot of balls going ahead and not even participating in the challenge. Like, I felt like going back to like the old coconut chop challenge, I felt like she really telegraphed where she stood. Once she made the decision to go with Tyson and Jervis, like everything that Hayden and Caleb got, that there could be a blindside coming, came from how Sierra was acting.
Yeah, she was like nibbling. She was doing the Lady and the Tramp thing with Tyson. She was like nibbling the sausage from the other end.
Whoa.
Now here, I loved actually Tyson's response, though, when Jeff tried to call him out on it at Tribal Council.
What was that?
Was like,
oh, I'm talking about when Jeff started doing like a Shakespearean
that was hilarious. He like went into like a British accent.
Yeah, was that Jeff Probst, or was I watching a promo for Robin Williams on The Crazy Ones? I didn't know Jeff was an improviser.
Jeff Probst was on fire today. He was like, he was just like, I just saw you glance over at Jervis. We know what that means, guys, right? We got to vote out Jervis, guys. Come on. Like, he was just like rallying stuff.
Yeah. Jeff was very fired up. So did you think
I wanted to say just like, I really like Tyson's response when Jeff called him out on eating. And he was like, yeah, of course I trust my alliance. I was actually kind of weirded out that my allies didn't trust me enough. I thought that was a really funny, turnaround.
Very good job by Tyson. So let me see. Where else do we want to go next with this? All right. So who goes home next? You think it's going to be Sierra?
I would say, I mean, every time this has happened in the past, every single time, the person who flips is the one who goes home next. Maybe not the, yeah, it's usually like the immediate next tribal council. Sometimes it's two, but usually the immediate next episode.
Well, you have to think that Hayden is going to be the odds-on favorite for the guy who's going to go home next.
But it often happens that, like, they are so furious at the person who flipped on them, and then the original alliance is like, yeah, we don't need them either. Like, we don't trust them. She flipped on you guys. That was fucked up. Excuse right. my language.
Well, yeah. Let's play this out if you're Hayden. What can Hayden do next week? Okay, six people left in the game.
I think the move is to say, like, hey, we want Sierra gone. Take her out, and we'll respect you more for it.
Mm-hmm. But who's we? That's Hayden and Katie?
Yeah.
Now, the Hidden Immunity Idol is back in play this week. Now, this Redemption Island challenge actually looms particularly large because for the first time, basically, in the whole game, we have a chance, or going back to when John Cody got the clue to the Hidden Immunity Idol, the Hidden Immunity Idol will be re-hidden. And
is that right? Are we sure about that? Sometimes the rules kind of are wonky with this stuff.
Well, I think considering this twist that we have, and they're going to give away the clue every week, we have a chance now to have the immunity idol clue given out. And so we assume they'll hide the idol. So now you have three people with vested interests all over the board. We're going to have Caleb, we're going to have Tina, and we're going to have Laura. Obviously, if Tina wins the challenge, she'll give the idol clue to Katie. If Laura wins the challenge, she'll give it to Sierra, who will then burn it. Or if Caleb can somehow win the Redemption Island duel, he would probably give the idol clue to Hayden.
Yeah. Could be huge. It could be a huge episode.
Yeah. So that was the other part of the thing where if Tyson didn't need to use the idol, I think it does hurt his game to have the idol back in play.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well. Like, that one reason not to play the idol is because you want to like minimize risk and minimize danger. And so, yeah, it's better to not play it. I still think it was the right decision to play it, but yeah, there's like an incremental reason not to there.
Yeah, that's what Boston Rob says. That whether it was on the podcast or not, his opinion on this is the move with the hidden immunity idol is to have it and to not play it, because then you know that you control it and nobody else in the game has it.
Yeah, that was also my opinion.
It's in the BR rules. So let's see. How about this Redemption Island, Stephen? We had some cheating going on at Redemption Island.
I'm giving Laura Moret the fishy this week, Rob, for that move. I thought that was a great move. She keeps Tina around. Tina's, you know, in spite of what the Survivor Tina fan on Twitter has to say, I think Tina's a weaker competitor on Redemption Island than Vetus is. But for Laura to use knowledge to give Tina an edge makes her path easier.
You know, Survivor Tina is a very sweet lady, but boys, the Survivor Tina fan on Twitter is very opinionated, very angry Tina fan.
You know, but good for Tina for having such passionate fans.
Angry fan.
Yeah, but no, I think that's the right move. I think it's a great move from Laura Moret to you know, hurt Vetus and help Tina. You know, maybe it costs her a jury vote, but I think it makes her path towards getting back in the end that much easier.
Steven, I don't know if you caught this in the episode. I went back and I watched it a couple times. Did Tina and Laura Moret kiss on the lips in their celebration of this Redemption Island victory?
I didn't notice it.
Yes, and somebody, one of the voicemailers a couple of weeks ago noticed that Tina kisses Katie on the lips. Now, I've spent a considerable amount of time with Tina West, and she's never tried to kiss me on the lips. What's going on here, Steven?
You know, I think some women, you know, who knows how they do it in the hills? You know, she's from a different culture, Rob.
Hill people that get hit over the head by, get brought back to their cave and kiss on the lips. That being said, if somebody helped me win a challenge on Redemption Island, I would kiss them on the lips.
Yeah, for sure. At least, at the very least.
Yeah. How pissed are you if you're Vetus?
I appreciate that Vetus gave her the cold shoulder. You know, like, don't pretend that that's okay. You know, he was legitimately screwed, and he was pissed about it. I like that. You know. How did you feel about Jeff Probst once again trying to get Vetus to like talk about his relationship with Otis? He is so excited about it.
I mean, really, like, I get it. There was the Otis and Vetus relationship was strained, but it's not like at this point that either Otis or Vetus is like, you know what, I'm done with this guy. I tried. I'm done. They both are saying, you know, hey, we're going to work on this. I think we're going to be closer. Like, they both are in agreement here. So I don't know.
And also, like, it didn't seem like they were, like, that – like, the rift didn't seem that intense, right? It was like they were super excited to work with each other. They got along pretty well for the most part. You know, and then every time they're both out there, Jeff is like, you guys, this is really a magical moment for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Jeff really was hoping there would be more of a wedge between Otis and Beatus. And I don't, I get the sense there was some tension, but not really. Like, they didn't come into this game like, well, we haven't, like for you Big Brother fans, like Dick and Danny Donato, where it's like, we haven't spoken in 9 years and whatever. So, yeah, the Otis and Beatus rift, I feel like, is one of the least interesting storylines of Survivor Blood versus Water.
I actually thought that it was less that Jeff wanted them to have a rift than for them that Jeff wanted the rift, this huge rift, to be healed through the magic of Survivor. Whatever it was, he was hitting it so hard. Like, let it go.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that. All right, so we're going to get to some questions here in a moment. Use the hashtag RHAP. Last call for questions. Jessica Frey is putting everything together as we speak, or submit them on YouTube as well for us. All right, but Steven, I mentioned it at the top here. This podcast is sponsored by Hover.com, and of course, we are all thankful for Hover.com. So, Steven, if you were one of the survivors, if you were working with the survivors, what website does one of the survivors want to register tonight?
Oh, I see. You know, I think Hayden might want to register, you know, trustyourfriends.com.
Trustyourfriends.com. How about itelltysonEverything.com? Is that a good domain to register?
Yeah, there you go. I think, you know, you want to find out who owns I Tell Tyson Everything before you
course.
Go around, you know.
Yes, if you were trying to register itelltysonEverything.com, of course, you would know that that is registered to Sierra Easton, and I hope that she went to hover.com because she would not be upsold at all, and she would deal with the friendliest and most helpful people around who would help her with all of her domain management and keeping everything very simple. She would be able to get a hold of somebody without being on hold, and they have a no hold phone policy, much like Tyson and Jervis and Sierra had a no hold policy during the immunity challenge.
That's phenomenal. That's great. I like that a lot. Yeah, you definitely it seems like actually a number of people might be competing to get the I Tell Tyson Everything .com address. So, you know, maybe they would have to go for a .net or even a .org, since it does seem to be a charity at this point.
Well, .net would be a great website to have as well. A lot of people don't think about .net websites, but those are great to have. Tyson may want to register itelljervis.everything.com.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, he can make like a Jervis website that was like an app where you like input all the decisions and you have like a yes or no kind of thing happening. You know, there's like Jervis.com.
Yeah.
And it's like a, yeah.
Is Jervis like the Oracle in the Matrix?
Yeah, yeah. Where it's he's like a computer program, just like a wise computer program.
He's very wise. Yeah. And in case you don't have Jervis to tell you what to do, that's where the guys from Hover.com come in. They take the hassle out of everything as far as getting your domain. When you sign up, you'll get 10% off new domain names when you use the promo code ROB. Check out hover.com for any domain management needs that you may have. Hover.com. All right, Steven, you ready to get into some questions here? From
Let's do it, Rob. Let's roll.
Here we go. Let's bring in Jessica
Hardcore
Frey.
More questions.
Jessica Frey, who was besides herself as she watched the episode tonight. Jessica, here we go. First question comes up from Jeff Pittman, the great from True Dork Times. He wants to know, on RHAP, Tyson talked about reading Probst's line of questioning to figure out who was at risk. Did Probst just outplay him? All right, so Steven, I just posted today, it was 1 year ago, this week on Black Friday 2012. I had Tyson on the podcast, and it was a really interesting show because I'm sure you know, a year ago, Tyson wasn't too jazzed about Survivor. He was actually pretty down about the show overall, and it really comes off in the interview about the things that he does not care for about Survivor and the casting process and all these things. And look, 1 year now, he's basically controlling the entire game. So if you want to hear that, that's up on robisawebsite.com, that interview. But did Jeff Probst get the best of Tyson, or did Tyson get the best of Jeff Probst tonight?
Well, clearly nobody got the best of Tyson because Tyson is doing great. Like he's doing just fine, but it is interesting just the you know, the way that he, you know, Jeff really was sort of pointing out to people who were at risk.
Yeah, very good. All right, let's go to the next question. And we're not.
That was it.
Yeah, that was it. Okay,
was
here we go.
That was a good one.
This is no, this is still the same one. All right, so
Well, that was a great question.
That's a great question. Yeah, Stephen, do you have any questions for me? All right, so let's see. Let me go to my Twitter, and this is from Colin Stone. He wants to know, if Tyson is concerned enough to play his idol, why not take a shot at immunity? I mean, did the information change for Tyson, and then he was like, oh, damn, I wish I did play in the immunity challenge, or did he feel like, I know I'm going to play the hidden immunity idol anyway, I might as well eat?
I thought, I actually think that that was my thought as well, was like, if you are that concerned, you ought to be playing for immunity. You know, hold the idol for another week. You know, who knows what's going to happen next week. Just play for the immunity. I mean, this is also, though, not a great challenge for Tyson, especially with a bum shoulder, right? Like, if your shoulder is hurting at all, you're not going to be able to do this challenge, like, one bit. So I it's probably a smart move for him to drop out.
Okay. Let's see. Let's go from Aubrey Marie, who wants to know, should they make Monica start to sit out immunity challenges so that the immunity necklace becomes relevant again?
Is Monica winning too many? At some point, if you're Monica, do you say, I need to take a step back, I'm becoming too big a threat?
Apparently she's not. If it wasn't for her winning immunity challenges, we wouldn't even know she was on the show.
Yeah, but that's true for us watching at home. But you know that, like, she's still out there the whole time, Rob. She actually is there for the whole 72-hour period, not just for that one 30-minute period.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Nobody's talking about her. Not anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, she doesn't know that. If you're Monica, you're super paranoid, you're winning all these immunities, at some point you're thinking, am I drawing too much attention to myself? No, you don't think that. You're going to win all the immunities.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's see.
Whitney Friesen wants to know, do you think that Tyson Apostle playing the idol without telling Sage Irv is going to backfire next episode? Rob?
No, I don't think so, because Jervis does not ever seem to be blindsided by new information that Tyson has. And so Tyson can just say, oh, yeah, bro, I just found the idol today. So I figured I'd play it. And Jervis will be like, hey, that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't think Jervis gets pissed off about stuff like that.
He's you know, happy to be there.
Yeah, he's a low-key G.
Do you think Jervis is even considering taking out Tyson? I mean, we saw in the preview for next week, he says, tell me a plan or whatever. Tell me a move.
Yeah. I mean, do you think it's possible? Do you think Jervis is going to turn on Tyson?
If you're Jervis and you're like, I'm number two to this guy, everyone is saying he's going to win, you have to. You don't want to go to the end after suffering for, you know, five freaking weeks with someone who's going to beat you.
Steven, but does that ever happen on Survivor? I feel like the person who's number two, I feel like all season long people say, don't you understand? You're number two. You're never going to beat that person. I feel like that person who's number two never votes out the person who's number one.
I tried. I wanted to do it, Rob. I know this is about me.
That's not about you. It's not about. Don't make it about you.
I didn't get a chance.
But does it ever happen? I mean, does the number two ever take out the number one?
I really wanted to. I'm trying to think of another example.
I feel like it doesn't happen. I feel like we say, oh, Chelsea's got to get rid of Kim. Or, you know, or, you know,
but I wonder if part of that is because of the way the story is told, right? Like the story is told retrospectively in a certain sense.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, I can't think of one off the top of my head. Maybe in the chat room, you guys can think of one. Let's go to Real BG Love. Did you find it interesting that Caleb took all of the flack for Hayden's initial idea? Why do you think Sierra chose to single out Caleb to Tyson as the conniving one? Did you see it that way?
She did mention Caleb first, and I think it was because Caleb had maybe broached it with her first, even though obviously from our perspective, it was Hayden who kind of came up with it. You know, maybe Caleb is just seen as the more dangerous one for whatever reason. You know, again, like it's that country boy thing. You know, Caleb was the one who flipped on, as you said, on his previous alliance. So who knows?
Okay. Okay. That's still real BG low. Let's see. That's inappropriate. I'm looking at my Twitter.
Oh, wow. Sounds hot.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Marion Silva wants to know, if Laura comes back, is it possible that she will vote for Sierra? Jerry Springer in the house?
Vote for her, like vote to eliminate
yeah,
her?
Yeah, if she comes back in the game, do you think
no,
that...
she would quit before she did that. Her whole game is predicated on sacrificing herself for Sierra.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. From Robert Loeffler, he wants to know, do you think that Katie will make it to the final four once Hayden and Sierra are knocked out and whoever comes back from Redemption Island? So where does Katie land?
Yeah, that's a good question, Rob. That's a really good question. You know, she's also sort of in this Monica limbo where she's always the next to go, so she's never the one who actually goes.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. You could see her making it pretty deep, right? Because now, especially, they got to take out Hayden. You know, I don't. You know, got to take out Sierra. I could totally see Katie being number four.
Yeah, she's like in that Christina Cha zone where it's like she's like makes it. She like makes it to the finale, but she like comes in like fifth or fourth, and nobody really like. And she's like, oh, you know, I was right there. I almost won the game, but you know, they got me. But hey, fourth place, that's pretty good. Like, she's gonna be right there. She's in the Christina Cha zone.
That's a great the Cha Cha zone. I like it.
We need a good name for that. Deadwin wants to know: will Tyson using the immunity idol lead to his possible downfall? Considering that it shows he's now vulnerable. People gotta assume Tyson doesn't have an idol now. It's the time to strike.
Well, they also didn't assume he had one before. People are really fixated on this idea that Tyson is exposing himself as being weak by playing the idol. It doesn't really seem like that at all.
Yeah. Well, he is vulnerable now since if somebody else gets the idol, you could get Tyson now.
Yeah. I mean, that would definitely be the time. I mean, now would be the time, but this episode would have been the time. Those four should have done it this episode.
Yeah. Here's a good question. This is from Zachary Zarnett Klein in the chat room. He wants to know, what is the official call on actively helping people in challenges? I remember when Sophie wanted to get help from Albert to beat Ozzy in Final Immunity Challenge of South Pacific. Jeff stopped it immediately. What gives? Now, are we talking about the specific, drop your stack and help me? Yes.
So there's obviously a huge difference. It's always been legal to say anything to anybody in a challenge. So you can give someone very specific advice. And actually, Coach helped me out in a challenge at one point in time. And you can say anything to anybody. What Sophie was asking Albert to do was actually to physically help her, which is illegal. You cannot touch anyone else's challenge pieces.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, good to know. Let's take a couple more questions from Nick 2S. How much does Laura sound like Katie? Okay, well, we had a fake out on Redemption Island. Hashtag red eye fake out. So here comes Tina. Here comes Laura, and she's. I'm sorry. Who it was? Laura that came to Redemption Island. She was like, yeah. "Mom." Is that a Katie
and then
impression?
Was like, "Oh my God, it's my daughter." Yeah. Or it's a middle-aged woman.
Did you like the Redemption Island fake out?
I thought that was great. Yet another reason why Laura wins the fishy.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. Double duty. There you go. Yeah. Does that count as a Katie impression?
Yeah, I guess so. You got competition for Survivor impressions now.
Yeah. let's see. People, a few inappropriate questions on Twitter to me with the hashtag RHAP. I think people are getting into some of the Thanksgiving wine a little early tonight.
Oh, apparently it's a huge drinking day.
Yeah. Oh
I
yeah.
didn't
Well,
know that.
all the college kids are out, Stephen. That's a we've
I didn't
got
know.
over 500 people are watching us live. It's after midnight on the East Coast, but
Hello.
maybe it's the college kids are all writing
Hello,
inappropriate
people.
questions. Let's see. One or two more questions. Tyler Sloan wants to know, is Tyson really concerned about Katie's chances for jury votes, or was that just a ploy to bring the vote to vote Katie out?
Oh, yeah, probably not that concerned about them. I mean, you do worry though about these people who are I think this is again like one of those things where we at watching at home are sort of at a loss because there are always people who are very, very, very well liked, and they do be seem to be jury threats. And they don't make it to the end because they were so well liked and because they were jury threats for that reason. I mean, I'm sure you had some in both your seasons. In my season, Debbie Beebe, who barely showed up in the editing, was everyone was terrified that if Debbie Beebe made it to the end, she'd win it all. So I think that that's one of those things where like maybe they are, maybe that's a legitimate fear.
Yeah, but I felt like it was totally a ploy. I felt like it's like Tyson saying, how do I get these two guys to do something that's probably not in their best interest? How do I get these, like Tyson knows that there's seven people left in the game, there's four new players, there's three returning players. How do I stop these four new players from ganging up and taking out one of my three?
Well, it's really impressive, and it speaks so really highly of Tyson's game this season that he's done it. He had four new players, every reason to think that they would ally
Yeah.
against him, and they didn't.
No fishy for Tyson this week?
He's gotten so many fishies, I got to give it to someone else.
Yeah, the
And
Knicks.
there was no singular move he did this week. I respect certainly his decision. I think his gameplay throughout has been phenomenal. It gets boring to talk about,
Okay.
He's great. He's great.
He is great. Let's see. Let's forget one more.
Deadwind wants to know, did Sierra's decision to take the food over the challenge ensure Tyson that she was telling the truth and was playing with him 100%. It's an interesting read on it. What do you think about that, Rob?
I'm sorry, can you say the question one more time?
Yeah, Deadwind here is asking, is Sierra's decision to take the food really sort of proof of her loyalty to Tyson?
I didn't see it like that. I seemed like it's felt like to me more like a gloating and felt like overconfidence to me, but I didn't think it seemed like a strategic move of oh, I gotta, because they were all separated. And it's like, I mean, does you, I, you were in a situation like this, and you chose to eat. Did you feel like people saw it as, oh, Steven is overly confident, or Steven is so sure in his alliances that he doesn't need to compete?
I think people saw that as, people are actually pretty generous to each other out there in a way, right? Like from our perspective, we are just seeing the strategy, the calculation. What does this mean? Why would this person do that? But I think on an emotional level, I think people are pretty human and pretty kind and pretty generous. And I mean, for me, it was like this kid is starving half to death. He obviously needs is just coming off, a torrential downpour, an exile. He needs a bite to eat. I think that at least my experience of it was that people were really, really nice.
Well, this was a fantastic episode of Survivor. Only two Wednesday episodes left, and we're going to have some big podcasts along the way here as we get ready to close out Survivor Blood vs. War. Can you believe that the light is here at the end of the tunnel? You see it coming?
I can't believe it, Rob. I'm amazed that the season is wrapping up. We still haven't seen this big thing that Jeff has been hyping, the thing that's only happened once before in 26 seasons of Survivor.
Okay. We'll see what that is. We're gonna have a really fun podcast on this upcoming Friday. We're going to talk with the one and only Andrea Belkey is gonna be live with us Friday afternoon.
She's good.
I will
She's
talk with
very
her.
funny.
And I will be answering your voicemails with our good friend Jessica Leese, who is my co-host for the Amazing Race podcast. A lot of people don't know, huge Survivor fan as well. So we're going to talk to her. Get your voicemails in 323-282-0101. RHAP, or go to robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. And I'd be remiss if I did not tell you about the fantastic deals that are happening right now on Amazon.com for the Black Friday. Don't go and sleep outside and catch pneumonia. God knows where, all these horrible stores. They tell you about these doorbusters. That's crazy talk. Just stay in your house, watch football, and have a nice weekend and go on the computer. Go to Amazon.com. Use our link. Go to robhasawebsite.com/Black Friday and get all of the secret deals on the Amazon Black Friday homepage. Robhasawebsite.com/Black Friday. Start your shopping there. There you go. Steven, have you started any holiday shopping?
I haven't, but I will do all of it through the RHAP Amazon link.
Do you buy presents ahead of time, or are you typically a last minute shopper?
I will buy them like December 28th and apologize to people for being late.
And Steven, is tomorrow also the first night of Hanukkah?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Happy Hanukkah, Steven.
Thank you. I've got big Hanukkah plans.
Yes.
That involve turkey.
Yes, fantastic. What a great episode of Survivor, Thanksgiving, Hanukkah. Oh my God. So much excitement happening in the world right now.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, Rob, and to your lovely family, to Nicole and Dominic,
And the best to your family as well, Stephen, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Have a great weekend. Don't eat too much turkey and drive. It's a very underreported thing. A lot of people fall asleep at the wheel on Thanksgiving night.
Rob, we got to say, MTD NML just message us. Number two, getting rid of number one, Denise and Malcolm. Great example.
There you go. Boom. All right. On that note, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.